Have you ever heard the expression, failure is not an option? Chances are you have, because when I Googled it, I got 294 million results in under a second. This mantra is pervasive in our culture. It's become so ingrained that many of us believe that success is the absence of failure. That in order to be a successful person, you must avoid failure at all costs. And this line of thinking can freeze us in our tracks and stop us from even attempting something new or pursuing a goal that God has laid on our hearts. If failure is the end, then why even try? It's easier to not try at all. Fear of failure can be paralyzing. It can keep us from living into the abundant life that God has called us to. Take Moses, for example. God called him to lead the Hebrew people out of slavery in Egypt and into the Promised Land. God wanted Moses to be the instrument that made the covenant God made with the people a reality. But Moses was scared. He knew failure could mean death, his own and likely that of many of his people. 4 times he makes excuses to God about why he's not the right person for the job. And 4 times, God comes back with a counter to Moses' fear. Finally, Moses cries out to God and says, "Please, Lord, send anyone else but me." Maybe you can relate to Moses here. Have you ever been standing on the edge of a new endeavor or opportunity and are stuck by all the different ways it could crash and burn? I know I have. Before we start to dig into the ways we can find courage in the face of failure, I do want to point out that I'm not suggesting we charge headlong into the unknown, blind to the dangers that are ahead of us. That's just reckless. Understanding the pitfalls and failure points of any plan can help us avoid them. But what do we do when those pitfalls start to look like giants that we could never overcome? Here are 3 principles that can help us be courageous and press on when the possibility of failure looms over us. First, most things are never as hard as you fear they will be, and if you do fail, the pain of that failure is almost never as bad as you think it will be. The second is recognizing that successful people, however you define success, are the ones who are willing to do the things that unsuccessful people are not. Fear of failure can cause you to avoid the things you need to do to find success. And the third comes from Pastor Adam Hamilton, and it's a term he calls discernment by nausea. When life presents a choice, one tends to seem easier while the other makes you a little sick to your stomach. When you think about it, often the latter is the choice you should make. Jesus says essentially the same thing in Matthew chapter 7. It reads, "Go in through the narrow gate. The gate that leads to destruction is broad and the road wide. So many people enter through it. But the gate that leads to life is narrow and the road difficult. So few people find it." As often as you can, seek out that narrow road that leads to life. The path may not be easy, but it will be worth it. One of the ways we experience failure most acutely is when we let someone down or receive criticism. Any people pleasers out here? Most of us want to be liked and care about what others think. However, if left unchecked, that care can turn into an obsession for finding approval from others. And with today's technology, you can actually look at Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter and literally quantify how much people like you. It's scary. If you struggle with people-pleasing like I do, there's a simple shift in thinking that can help you overcome it. The reality is that you are already approved of. In the words of Bob the Tomato, God made you special and loves you very much. It's true for all people everywhere, and this approval can't be earned or lost. It is given freely as a gift by the grace of God. You will receive criticism. It's part of life. Recognizing that, receiving critique doesn't change your value, or approval might allow you to hear that criticism in a different way and maybe allow you to make a change for the better. Just remember that God's approval doesn't give you permission to hurt others, because that's just how you are and they have to deal with it. We should attempt to offer that same grace as we interact with others, and especially if we're about to offer criticism to someone else. In this digital age, when we have friends on Facebook and hundreds, if not thousands, of contacts on our phones, and we can reach out to almost anyone we know at a moment's notice, people are more lonely than ever. But it's not a new problem. In fact, Loneliness is one of the first things in the Bible that God refers to as not good. In Genesis chapter 2, God said, "It's not good that the human is alone." I should say here that loneliness is not the same thing as solitude. All of us need some time alone, some more than others, and there's nothing wrong with that. But even the most introverted need to feel a sense of community and belonging. Over the course of our lives, we experience loss and hurt, and it can become more difficult to form healthy, life-giving relationships. We can be scared that this new person will hurt us or leave us, reopening a wound that we would rather not revisit. Some might even feel the need to sever a relationship that's going well to avoid a loss that may never come. This kind of self-sabotage feels like the right move, but leads to a life with few, if any, real connections. The best way to combat loneliness is probably the exact opposite of what you want to do, is to reach out and be with someone. Find out where people are and go to them. Find a church community and get plugged in, and find a way to serve. Depending on the level of hurt you've experienced, it might feel impossible to reach out and connect on your own. If this is you, I encourage you to seek out a therapist or counselor that specializes in attachment theory. They might really be able to help you. Remember, we face our fears with faith. We examine our assumptions in light of the facts. We attack our anxieties with action, and we release our cares to God. So many of us struggle with fear of all different shapes and sizes. If you take nothing else away from this, remember to be gentle with one another. You never know what someone else is struggling with. Love each other as hard as you can. Let's pray. God, you are so much bigger than our problems and trials. Oftentimes, we let our fear of failure, our fear of letting others down, and our fear of being alone stop us from doing the things we need to do to feel that real connection, to find success, and to do the things that you've called us to do, God. Thank you for never leaving us in the midst of that. God, I pray that you would give each one of us a spirit of courage and a spirit of power. Let us look at the realities of our situations, God, and see you in the midst of that so that we can take action and move forward. And God, when that action seems too hard and too impossible, give us that courage to reach out and ask for help, because there is no shame in finding that growth through the help of another person, God. You have placed so many people in our lives and around us that can help us move forward, that can help us break free of the pain that we're experiencing, God. So we thank you for all of the ways that you encounter and encourage and love us. Let us be that same love and encouragement in the lives of people that you placed around us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.